joining Children of the Watch.
That's right. It's the number one after show for all things Star Wars television. I'm your host, Alex Maxwell, and joining me, as always, is...
Mac Lacey. We're here for our Part 5 voicemail Hello There Hotline episode. This is where we get to, you know, hear from the audience, hear from the people from all over the world. This is super fun to do.
Yes.
Thank you guys in advance for all of your calls and everything. And make sure that, you know, we're rounding down to the last episode of Obi-Wan Kenobi. So if you want to get your voicemail on the Hello There Hotline, you've got one more chance after this.
That's right. So, like, I can't wait to talk about this because Part 5 has been on my mind since Wednesday, since it premiered. And like you said, we're heading towards the finale of Obi-Wan Kenobi already. We're already there. This has been such a whirlwind of a season, yeah. Mac. Typically, you know, we draw this out for 8 weeks, but this has been, like, what, 21 days?
Yeah, it's pretty much a month of podcasting for us, of the show coming out. I think the pace at which we've gone through the show has been good. Like,
yeah,
I liked having two episodes to start out and everything like that, but it is making it just feel super fast.
You know, before we jump into the voicemails and stuff, this is a discussion that I've been seeing a lot online because the Marvel show, Miss Marvel, is premiering now as well, and it's been out for 2 weeks now, mm-hmm. and it has not done as well as previous Marvel shows. And I want to say, like, having it up against Obi-Wan Kenobi doesn't seem like a very good idea to me.
Yeah.
Having two shows come out at the same exact time on the same exact day.
They have a lot of audience in the middle of that Venn diagram.
Yeah.
You know?
And I feel like, and this, the conversation is like, man, it would be so nice to have Star Wars back on Fridays again.
Yeah.
And then, like, just spread it out a little bit where you have your Marvel shows come out on a particular day and then your Star Wars shows come out on a particular day.
Right.
That would be really, really cool. Or I've seen people say call it Marvel Mondays and have those come out on Mondays and then keep Star Wars on Wednesdays.
I like that too.
I mean, personally, I prefer the Fridays. There was something about, like, looking forward to the end of the week with Star Wars for me that I really, really enjoyed.
Close the door on the work week, usher in the weekend. Yeah, for sure. It kind of like preserved that feeling of waiting until like a big theater release, because that's always happening later in the week, you know, like a Thursday night for a midnight showing or going to see it on Friday.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I kind of like I like Friday. It's pretty good.
So yeah, if there's any Disney Plus executives in the listening audience or anybody that has any sort of influence or say, please consider it, because I think it would do wonders for every property that is on Disney Plus. So I don't know. It's just, that was just something that was in the conversation that I saw that I kind of wanted to just bring up, because I think that would be a really wise idea, especially as we head into Andor, which is coming out August 31st. And then you've got The Bad Batch coming out like literally a month later. There's going to be a lot of overlap there too.
Yeah.
I feel like they should also consider maybe releasing those on different days.
Yeah, that's going to be really interesting when there are two separate Star Wars television shows airing at the same time.
There's potential for three with the... Tales of the Jedi animated series.
Yeah.
That's also coming out in the fall. And like if Andor is doing one episode a week after the two episode premiere, it is going like, well into fall.
Right. It's 12 episodes, right? It's going to have us tied up until like November.
Right. Right. So I don't know. It's just interesting. Now we're getting into the meat of all the releases that we've been talking about. How do they handle that? Are they going to keep it the same the way that they've been doing, or do they tweak it a bit as we head into the fall? I'm interested to see what happens there. I don't know. It's just, I feel like they might tweak it a little bit, which I'm kind of down for, honestly.
Yeah, we're cool with that. We're cool with that.
Cool. voicemail hotline. This is the Hello There Hotline episode. If you are new to the show, we do scene-by-scene breakdowns, and you can find that on our feed or the YouTube page. But this is like Max said, this is part of the fun where we get to hear from our listener audience. You guys have called in. There were so many voicemails, and you guys can call into the number 205-259-6675. Like Max said, you only have really one more opportunity for Obi-Wan to do this.
Yeah.
So make sure that you do that, because we want to wrap up the show in a great way with your voicemails and your calls. And
Don't let the chance pass you by. Go ahead and call in.
We'll probably treat that episode kind of like as a series review.
Yeah, it might take a few more calls than we normally do. Take one more time.
So if you want to talk about the overall series and stuff like that, that's cool too. But you can find the rest of everything on our show notes. If you like this episode, you can get a bonus voicemail hotline episode by joining the Patreon for just $2 a month. Patreon.com/TheMandalorianWatch to get that and so much more. I think that does it for the business.
I think so.
Let's jump into the voicemails.
Let's do a voicemail.
Hi, my name is Catherine. I'm calling from the Pittsburgh area. I have been a long-time listener and a first-time caller. Yay! Okay, so I'm pretty stoked about the most recent episode, episode 5. Love the flashbacks, all that good stuff. So, I have a theory about Rita. I'm really hoping that she has not turned and, like, become good, because that's done quite a bit in Star Wars. I'm really hoping that after Obi-Wan and Darth Vader hopefully have another duel, and whatever is figured out with the whole ship and everything and trying to get away. I'm hoping that Obi-Wan goes back to Tatooine and Rita is there and has kidnapped or is trying to kidnap Luke to therefore leverage him against Vader. And I'm hoping that Obi-Wan gets to defeat Rita in that way, and she's not actually turned to light side, but she still sees a bad guy through and through. Anyway, that's just my theory and I thought I'd call it in. Hope you guys have a great day, and I really enjoy listening to y'all. Bye.
Catherine.
I love a long-time listener, first-time caller, you know, finally hearing the voice of somebody who's been with us for a while. So Reva, Catherine's kind of wanting her to stay consistently, firmly planted in the dark side. I'm right there with her.
I am too.
I think Reva is an opportunity to tell a different kind of villain story than we usually get to tell in Star Wars, you know, where she's not just like purely bought into being evil, but she's motivated by other things and is just using the dark side kind of as a tool, or like to the dark side is kind of facilitating her path in that way. I don't mind, like, I liked, you know, her and Obi-Wan teaming up a little bit because their purposes kind of overlapped in the last episode. But yeah, I do want her to continue to, like, I want her to continue her own arc, you know?
Yeah, I'm with you in the sense of I don't want her by the end of this to be like, you know what, everything that I've done is wrong and you're right, I'm going to go help the path now.
Yeah.
Like that would be a little, that would be just as like quick of a turn as Daenerys was on Game of Thrones, where it's like, what? Where did that come? Like maybe after a while you could have got there, but that would be such a quick turn. Now I could see her being redeemed in the sense of like, maybe what Catherine says, there's a situation where she might try to kidnap Luke. Obi-Wan has to talk her down. Like, hey, listen, you are becoming just like Darth Vader. Like, what you're about to do is exactly what Vader just did to you. Right. Like, that's what he did to you. Don't do that. And I could see her being like, you're right, and then walking away from it, but not fully going back to the light side. That's the kind of redemption. Like, it's, and I've been saying this since the beginning of the show, it's a very Asajj Ventress type thing. Like, you don't really know where she stands, but it's not necessarily fully on the good, and it's not necessarily fully on the bad. She's just kind of somewhere in between at that point. And I would be okay with that kind of redemption. Is that, does that make sense?
Yeah, just like going out on a good note kind of thing in, in like one last act. Yeah, that would be fine. I just, I'm with you. I don't want her to be like, I'm now part of the path. Let's join the future Rebel Alliance. You know, and that, I would be like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
If I were Roken, I'd be like, absolutely not. You're not helping. Right. I'm sorry.
No, thank you. We have conducted a very brief background check just from our collective memory, and
it's not
going to
work out
for us.
It's not going to work out.
We talked, like, when Rise of Skywalker was coming out, we talked a lot about how we kind of wanted to see something similar from Kylo Ren.
Yes. Like,
the fact that he we've never just seen somebody in Star Wars really have to, like, live with their
consequences,
their life choices and stuff.
Yeah, they just die instead.
Other than, I mean, I guess we're getting that story fleshed out for Anakin / Vader, I think, at this point. Because we're spending more time in him, like, with him being moody and broody and
our broody boy.
The past. Broody boy. I think we could have Vader and Batman on a t-shirt and just get two copyright infringement violations in one go.
From
but it could say
them.
Broody boys. So, I don't know. I think Reva is an opportunity to get a little bit of that story, you know?
Yeah, I would be okay with her walking away from it, deciding neither side is for her anymore.
I'm going to go be a smuggler or a bounty hunter or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Somewhere else. Yeah,
exactly. I would be okay with that. But okay, last point on Catherine's voicemail. If it's a situation where Reva is actually interacting with Luke Skywalker, how does that make you feel?
It's interesting. I mean, that if she's using the Force a lot and stuff, I think that's the only thing that I would have to, you know, put some effort into reconciling in my mind. Just because, like, Luke is pretty much totally unaware of the Force by the time we meet him in A New Hope. Like, Obi-Wan is giving him kind of his first, you know, baby's first explanation of the Force.
Yes.
In that moment. I think, to me, what I would prefer to happen would be if Luke was, like, asleep and completely unaware of the conflict the whole time it was happening. Like, Owen, like, maybe Obi-Wan manages to get word to Owen, and Owen can, like, meet Reva outside the house, you know, at night before she could even get to Luke, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. It's not going to bother me if doing Force stuff around Luke.
Think about, like, all the things the prequels did to, like, wait, what? Like, Anakin built C-3PO. That doesn't make any sense. R2-D2 and C-3PO were around Obi-Wan constantly when he says that he doesn't remember ever owning a droid, and he's actually interacted with those same exact droids about a million times.
Well, that's explained because Obi-Wan is a liar.
Right. But there's so many instances of that in Star Wars where it's just not as consistent as we pretend that it is.
Yeah.
And one of the fun things about doing this podcast and, like, just being a Star Wars fan is making it work.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's kind of like our job as a fandom of, like, oh yeah, we'll make it work if that's the case. And, like, we'll find a way to make it work in our heads. But I mean, Star Wars has a long history of kind of already doing that, if that's the case, if that ends up being the case. But I 100% agree with you. I think I would rather see a situation where, like, Beru is running Luke down as someone is approaching the Lars homestead, and maybe Luke catches a glimpse of what's going on, but then Beru, like, ushers him into the home as Owen stands, like, in front of the door or something like that.
Yeah. I think that's my preference. I think that's the cleanest way to do it.
Yeah. I agree.
But yeah.
Because, I mean, it creates no issues there. There was like a what if type comic right after Revenge of the Sith that came out, where it actually brought forth the idea of Maul coming back with the robot legs.
Yeah.
And that's where they got the idea to actually put that in Clone Wars and do that whole storyline in the Clone Wars. They actually got that idea from this comic. But in that comic, you see Maul find out about Luke Skywalker, and really almost the same exact situation where Obi-Wan is fighting Maul with Owen's help, and then Owen ends up killing Maul, and it, like, he's really cool, but like he just, like, out of nowhere ends the fight and then tells Obi-Wan, never come around our farm again. I told you this would happen, you know? And so, like, I can see a very similar situation happening here, almost beat for beat. So we'll see. Sure. And then I just want to say also, Catherine ended up calling in right after this call, and asking about, the baby. We're having a baby, not me and Mac, but my wife and I,
that child would be doomed.
We're expecting in early July, so, like, honestly, it could happen any day now.
Yeah, you're in the ballpark.
we're definitely in the ballpark. So she was asking if, like, we could give an update on that and stuff. So it will be happening very, very soon. Keep your eye on social media at some point, COT Watch. On Twitter or Instagram, maybe I'll let you guys know over there when that actually officially happens. But thank you for asking, Catherine.
Yeah, so excited for the little Maxwell youngling, the little Padawan.
Yes, absolutely. All right, let's do the next voicemail. Thank you, Catherine.
Hey, Alex and Mac, man, I am a little behind. I've been away on vacation, but I'm listening to Breakdown for Kenobi Parts 1 and 2, and I love the fact that you have a new song as your exit music. So, nice job on your band getting a new song on there. I love it that, hey, we get some variety, we get to hear another song, and get a little more exposure to your band. So, hey, keep that up, man. Of course, I'd love nothing better to hear a different song every season or every show. So, I love it, man. I love what you guys are doing. All right, thanks. Bye.
Man, I'm so flattered. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. So if anybody doesn't know, I usually use my band Carpool Kids for our outro music, and I've been kind of, you know, changing up which song we use here and there. But we're about to be releasing some music.
Where could you find that music, Mac?
You can find it on Spotify or Apple Music or any of those things. I'm a terrible bandmate, and I don't actually know the date off the top of my head when our next little release is coming out. But
classic drummer.
Yeah. I just show up and, you know, carry things and then hit things and then leave. But
animal.
Carpool Kids. You can look for that on Spotify and all the stuff. If you like it at the end of this episode. So thanks for calling in. Thanks for giving me a little chance to talk about that.
Absolutely. All right, let's do the next voicemail.
Hey, what's up, Alex and Max? This is Matt from Kentucky, otherwise known as UK on the Discord. Just calling in with a few thoughts from the last episode. In the opening scene, Anakin's looking out over Coruscant, but more specifically, he's looking towards Padme's penthouse, which, you know, it's obvious foreshadowing to all the events of episode 2 and 3 and everything else, but also it kind of lends even more weight to Anakin saying, I've thought about her every day for 10 years. It's kind of a visual representation of that, which is kind of cool. Another point I had is, you all talked about You Are Beaten sounded like some Matt Lanter from the Clone Wars, which kind of did, but also I took it as Vader when he tells Luke, you are beaten, and Empire Strikes Back. But that also might just be because I'm looking too much into the parallels of each of these episodes being a parallel to the original 6. But, who knows? Also, I was breaking it down with a friend last night too, and we both had the same thought about the Owen versus Reva fight that could potentially happen. So that'd be a good payoff from the first episode setup. So that'd be really cool. And then I do have some irresponsible speculation for what happens in this last episode. So, you know, we all want the Qui-Gon thing to appear. I feel like he's got to at some point. What if, you know, it starts out really quick and they escape real fast somehow and he drops Leia off at Alderaan. Turns out Bail's on Tatooine about to go to town with Owen and Reva. But Obi-Wan doesn't know that yet, so he goes to Dagobah to talk to Yoda to learn again how to commune with Qui-Gon. And that's the scene we get with Qui-Gon. And then Qui-Gon convinces him that they're still good in Anakin, and that propels Obi-Wan to go to Mustafar to confront Vader. Again, I think that's very irresponsible speculation, but it would be kind of a cool tie-in to everything. I don't expect to see Yoda at all, but I think it'd be kind of fun. So anyway, keep up the good work. Talk to y'all later.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So just off the top of my head, if this were like a longer finale, I feel like that could happen, but it kind of depends on how much time we're playing with the finale. There's been a lot of rumors going around that it's an hour and a half finale.
Ooh.
We'll see if that's actually the case or not. That's, and people are getting that because they're actually going to be screening the final episode in some cinemas.
Yeah.
But the thing is, when you click on it, and I did this, I went and looked, it says the final episode and Q&A. So like they could be putting the Q&A time in with that as well.
Yeah.
So maybe it's around more actually like an hour. So
yeah.
If it is an hour and a half, then absolutely I could see him going to Dagobah and all that happening. And I love that idea of Qui-Gon is the one that's telling Obi-Wan there's still good in him.
Yeah.
I do really like that idea.
I do too. Because, I mean, at this point, Obi-Wan has been through it with Anakin. Like,
yeah.
And so I like Qui-Gon, the initial person who saw Anakin's potential, you know, and really believed in the prophecy and everything about Anakin and believed in Anakin himself. That'd be a great character to kind of bring that to Obi-Wan's attention, you know.
Yes.
Just thematically. Yeah, I've always thought of Obi-Wan and Yoda doing that training like right then in Revenge of the Sith. Like when they're both kind of walking away out of that scene, I just kind of figured they went and did it then, but we don't have any indication that that's the case, really.
No.
So yeah, we could be getting that later on. Raises questions about like how secret and safe is Yoda, you know, on Dagobah.
Well, if it's just Obi-Wan,
yeah,
I think that's okay.
Yeah, but anyway,
I don't know. Okay, so also the beginning of the voicemail, he pointed out that he's looking at what appears to be Padme's apartment where she lives. Mm-hmm. Now, that's absolutely true. That is what that is, and we did not point that out in the breakdown.
Yeah, good catch.
Yeah, very good catch. But I wouldn't read super much into it in terms of, like, I don't know how much he actually knows, like, if Padme lives there or not. Maybe a lot of senators live there. That's kind of, like, a weird thought because, like, obviously, Anakin's there all the time in episode 3. How right. often, like, do people see, like, oh, there's Anakin. He's going to see Padme again.
Just popping That's over a... to this particular yeah. apartment complex or whatever.
He's here a lot.
Yeah. I don't know. At the point when, in my mind, that flashback takes place, he also hasn't been, like, I don't know. I always just took him saying I thought about you every day for 10 years as being mostly a lie to charm and impress Padme, you know?
No, I do believe that because the creep factor is just something you've got to account for with Anakin.
That's something that really definitely creepy. Slipped my mind. Yeah. I forgot that he's a total lurch.
So yeah, that is a really cool, like, that is 500 Republica is what that's called. That section of Coruscant. So that is where Padme lives, and he is looking in that direction. So maybe he's thinking about her in that moment. Maybe he's not. But it is important to remember that is a pre-Attack of the Clones flashback that we saw.
Right. So that would be... I'm like, oh yeah, Anakin's a stalker. Great.
Yes, right, exactly. That is exactly what is happening there. Please join our Patreon to listen to our commentary on Attack of the Clones. It's good something. Stuff.
We definitely discussed the creep factor.
All right. Thank you for your voicemail. Let's do the next one.
Hey, guys. My name is Todd. I'm calling from Indiana. I've listened to your podcast since the beginning, and I just love it. And I look forward to bringing it up as soon as each episode airs because I like to hear your breakdowns and I'm with you. So irresponsible speculation about, it seems to me that Reva right now is the key because she knows that there's something going on Tatooine. So, you know, I agree that probably Vader's not going to show up there, but I kind of suspect that there's, you know, they have to resolve Reva, knowing kind of something's going on there. And so that means she either has to die or she has to become a kind of a good guy. You know, Star Wars loves a redemption story. And I suppose there could be a chance that, you know, Reva chases down Obi-Wan and Leia, but then sees a little bit of herself in that and finally decides to turn to the good side. But I think that's less likely. But we could have our cake and eat it, too, that maybe what happens is she hunts him down because of her anger, but then she decides to kind of have a change of heart, and then she sacrifices herself in some way to allow Obi-Wan and Leia to escape. So I'll be very curious to see how this does play out in the next episode. But anyway, keep up the great work. I appreciate all you do. I appreciate the attitude that you guys have in your podcast, that things are positive, and you're just fans just like I am, and I'm loving all of it. Thanks. Bye.
Nice. Right.
Yeah. Thanks so much for calling in.
So, the Reva question is probably just as big as the Qui-Gon question heading into the finale of what is she going to do? What is that?
Right.
Like, what is the end game with Reva? And I feel like part of the speculation about a season two of Obi-Wan might have revolved around her in the sense of, I'm really curious to see what's going to happen with her because, I'm wondering if the season two rumors are true. Did they edit it in a way where, okay, maybe Reva was originally going to die, but now she's not?
Yeah.
But I feel like that would have to include like reshooting some scenes, and that just seems like not possible at this point.
Just on the turnaround that they're on for the TV show. Yeah. I don't know. It all comes down for me, like when we start talking about a season two, what's going to ultimately happen to characters and stuff like that. To me, it just all comes down to like, what was their intention with this series, you know, from the beginning? Like, what was the story they want to tell? And did they just realize that they have more story that they want to tell in a second season? Or like, are we now kind of like grasping at stuff to pull a season two together?
Right.
Cause like, I mean, it would have been very easy to have Reva on the ground, you know, after being stabbed last episode, and then that last shot of her crawling towards the communicator, you know, that could have been something that they could have added pretty easily at the last minute, you know? So the Obi-Wan series, I'm looking forward to getting behind the scenes stories from. Like how eventually after it's been out for a little bit, we always start to kind of get some behind the scenes stuff floating in, like with Rogue One, you know. It's like, yeah, directed by Gareth Edwards, but then later we're like, yeah, really? Directed by Tony Gilroy.
Yeah. yeah.
You know, or like, so I'm interested to see what they were kind of like setting out to do and then how that changed in the course of making the show, you know?
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. But I'm still sticking with, if Reva's redeemed, it's not redeemed like I'm a total good guy now. It's I'm just not going to make this choice.
Right.
And I'm going to walk away from it.
Yeah.
So like that to me is not like I don't regret anything that I've done, but I don't have to keep doing it. Yeah. So I'm just going to walk away from that. And then like Asajj Ventress, I could see her maybe becoming a bounty hunter or something like that, where she's going to use her skills to further her own agenda, not necessarily for the good of others, but to help herself out a little bit. And so
you could say that she may go home and rethink her life.
What a missed opportunity.
Star Wars reference, Alex. I don't know.
What a missed opportunity not to have that guy in the show where he went home and he rethought his life.
He's part of the path now.
He's part of the path, or he's like a super rich billionaire and he's doing well for himself. He's done really great things in the galaxy, and Obi-Wan just kind of like smiles and nods of like,
"You want to buy some death sticks?"
Great for Sleazebag Bogano, whatever his name is.
Whatever
is that his
name?
Name
is. Yeah, they really just named him like Sleazebag or something.
Maybe he had to change his name because that's a hard name to live with.
See, yeah, I mean, that seems more like a business name anyway, you know? That's his mob name. He earned that name somehow.
Yeah. Now his new name is Upstanding Businessman.
Yep. It's a Life Ponderer McGee.
I love that. All right, cool. Thank you for your voicemail. Let's do another one.
Hey, this is Scott from Grand Rapids, Michigan. I love the podcast. Thanks for all you guys do around that. I was particularly struck in your recap episode where you said this is something special, and it definitely feels like this is something special. And I'll just go ahead and say it. This is what Solo should have been, right? Solo was, I think, an underrated movie. But if you had, you know, today and yesterday shaking hands like Obi-Wan is doing between all the different components of Star Wars universe, if you would have put Solo in a 6-episode show and connected some of the dots the way Obi-Wan is doing it, man, I'm sad that I'm missing out on what Solo could have been. So keep up the great work.
Ooh.
Oh, man. I love this call. Grand Rapids. My wife, Michaela, is kind of from that area. So shout out to y'all up there. Yeah, I love the thought of, like, what if Solo came out today as a Disney Plus series? Everything they were doing with that movie, there's so much intrigue, and like with all the organized crime stuff, there's so many different character like turns, you know. Beckett's on one side or another at like three, like he switches sides like 4 times during that movie,
right?
You know, all of that would play so well in a long form series, I think.
And not only that, like, I feel like you would get multiple seasons, at least 3 seasons of Solo, right? Like, the first season would be, like, the first movie, and then the second season is, like, working for Jabba for the first time.
Yeah.
And the third season is, like, that fallout between Jabba and Han. Like, how did that happen?
And, like, the whole time you're seeing Maul, like, behind the scenes, seizing power, becoming more and more important until eventually there's some big confrontation or, you know Han gets in deep with Maul's outfit in some way or something, you know, kind of to wrap the series up. But,
man,
Just like everything that movie was doing, I think would have worked better in long form. I definitely agree. Yeah. Like getting more of Kira's backstory and just ultimately like what happens. Like I want to see her rise in the ranks of Crimson Dawn and everything like that, you know?
Right.
There's so much story to tell there. And so I think giving it more Lando screen time would have been, yeah, more Lando. Come on. Yeah. Donald Glover's Lando was so good.
Oh man, are we ever going to get that show? The Lando show?
I don't know. It's primed. Like, I think everybody's here for it.
I saw somebody speculating in the Discord of how it could play out. And I love this idea. So basically it starts off with Billy Dee Williams telling a story about his younger self, like a crowd, but
or like over cards or something.
Exactly. And as he's telling it, there's other people who are there who are like, wait, that's not how it happened. And then they tell their perspective of the story. And it could almost be kind of like very comedic in the sense of like you have Donald Glover like playing it out several different ways. You know what I mean? Like, because Lando would embellish a little bit.
Of course. Of course. So, yeah.
That would be really cool. They say they have not canceled that show and that they're just working on the timing of it. But we've also heard that with the Rian Johnson trilogy. So
yeah, that's never coming out. but Lucasfilm will never say that. They're like, no. We're just trying to get the timing
100%.
Right.
It's coming out. We promise.
Right. Yeah. Look for it in like 2030 or so.
Honestly, I think they said something like that.
I would love to see the Rian Johnson Star Wars trilogy, but it's never happening. It's just simply not happening.
I'm not even totally positive that Taika Waititi Star Wars is happening. Even though he's been talking about it a lot and like a lot more recently, I guess, because they're on the Thor test press tour and stuff. And like, I feel like there, you know, people are probably asking him all the Star Wars questions. And he did make a really interesting statement of like, I don't want my Star Wars to be constantly referencing original things from Star Wars. So like, you're not going to see the blueprints of the Millennium Falcon or baby Chewbacca or anything like that. He wants it to be Star Wars, but brand new, like brand new characters. I think that's the direction to go.
Yeah, that's needed. One of the biggest criticisms I've heard from, you know, just like people at work or, you know, people who are less involved in the fandom than we are, is that like so much of the Disney Plus shows has seemed referential just, you know, to itself. Like we've got the Mandalorian, this brand new character in this brand new, you know, time period and everything that we haven't seen on screen. And then you bring all these characters that we have known, you know, into it. And that's been like kind of a criticism I've heard, that makes the story itself less engaging. So I don't think it's bad that we're doing that, because I love the interconnectedness of everything happening. But I do think there's room for just purely original kind of from the ground up stories. And Taika Waititi would be primed to deliver one of those, I think.
Absolutely. And the reason I think that would work so well is because there's a lot of weight with legacy characters.
Yes.
And I think we're seeing it play out with this show, Obi-Wan Kenobi, right? Like, there's just going to be a certain portion of people who have a hard time with it because it's not... I mean, we've been thinking about this movie for almost 50 years now.
Right.
Like, you know, like we've been with these characters for such a long time. There's so much weight that comes with characters like Obi-Wan, Han, Luke, and Leia, and Darth Vader, all these people. Like, you've got to do it in a way to honor who they are as characters and people's expectations of them, but also try to find a way to take it in a new, exciting direction like Obi-Wan Kenobi has been doing.
Yeah.
But that's not going to please everybody, you know, like, and like some people, they're just not vibing with it. And I understand that. I totally get that, because it's just a lot of weight with legacy characters. And I just feel like you can remove any bit of that, but still have it very Star Wars.
Yeah.
If there's brand new characters, like Rogue One is prime example of that.
Yes. And I mean, like, of course, you still have Vader and Leia and Bail and Mon Mothma and these characters that we're familiar with. So I think there's even more room to get away from it. But like that whole movie was like, here's a massive cast of characters you've never seen before.
Yeah.
And their stories, like their individual stories, are not really going to cross over with any characters you know that much. You know, like Vader is not involved with any of the new characters, the main cast we're following in Rogue One, you know?
Just those poor rebel troopers.
Right.
Those poor, poor rebel troopers.
Man, what a bad day at work, you know?
Another prime example of that, to me, is Star Wars Rebels.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you build this whole crew that you really fall in love with. It takes place in a familiar era. Everything is Star Wars, but it's brand new characters that you know and love. Now, of course, you know, you got, like you said, Vader, Ahsoka, Captain Rex. Yeah. Some people show up that you are familiar with, but, like, the idea of let's do brand new characters and focus on them, I think is the right direction to go, because when you look at everything that has been most universally accepted and praised out of the Disney era of Star Wars, what is it? It's Rogue One, The Mandalorian, Star Wars Rebels.
Yeah.
What do they all have in common? Brand new main characters. Yep. So, like, I think that's the direction that we've got to go. And, like, I think doing shows like this, Obi-Wan Kenobi, the idea of doing a solo show, I think that's, like, you can still do those. And, like, every now and then, you know what I'm saying? Like, make it, like, a special event.
We are not dealing with a finite amount of, like, Star Wars content that can come out.
Exactly. You know?
Like, there is definitely a tipping point there where you can't oversaturate the market, I think.
Which is...
But I don't think we hit it.
No, right. And which make... That's, I think, where the nerves come in for a season two of Obi-Wan Kenobi. Is like...
Yeah.
Does it make season one less special if there's a season two?
Right.
But like the voicemail talked about, like Solo would be primed for several seasons because there's so much more story there to tell than I feel like an Obi-Wan Kenobi there is.
Right. Just think about the time jumps we take in that movie itself. There's like a, 10 year or something crazy? Like
5 years,
we skip
I think.
Years, So, I mean, we could draw that out and kind of get more from... Each of those times.
The Imperial Academy.
Yeah. Get Kira. Like, how did she find herself in this elevated position in Crimson Dawn? You know, like, we know a little bit about how she got there, but, you know, it's mostly that, like, kind of reduced to, like, I've done terrible things to get here.
Right.
You know, like, let's see a little bit of, like, how that happened.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, well, that was a fun discussion. So we're going to continue this discussion over on our bonus voicemail hotline episode on the Patreon. Again, that's just $2 a month that you can gain access to that and so much more. And if your voicemail didn't make it on here, there's a chance that it made it onto the bonus voicemail hotline. So we're going to keep discussing Obi-Wan Kenobi. What are some of our final predictions going into the finale? Before we jump off this episode, I just want to say again, I don't want to set people up, but like I really feel like Qui-Gon is gonna happen. That is my like my final prediction of like, yeah, Qui-Gon at some point is gonna happen in Obi-Wan.
It's one of the bigger questions I've got just because that's something I've been expecting and waiting for kind of from the beginning, you know.
Yeah.
On our predictions, our final predictions episode, that was a big thing that we talked about, you know. And yeah, I'm honestly like a little nervous. Like I'm just anxious to see how they do it because like I don't want it to feel rushed when it happens or anything like that.
Sure.
And I feel like there's potential for that, but my hopes is that it's going to be amazing. We'll get Liam Neeson as Qui-Gon again, or at least hear his voice, you know.
Yeah.
But.
We'll see. We're almost there. We're almost to the finale. It's going to be a big one. I do think Vader and Obi-Wan are dueling on Mustafar. We've already seen the concept art. They've released that. There's fire behind them. I think that is happening. How he gets there is a question that we might address on this bonus voicemail hotline episode. So if you can join us over there, make sure you do. And if you can't support us that way, it would be such a huge help if you rated and reviewed us on whatever podcast platform you are listening on. We love you guys, and we'll see you for the final scene-by-scene breakdown for Obi-Wan Kenobi next Wednesday.
Yeah, so make sure you keep your eyes peeled on the feed. But until then, keep the watch.